Right, good evening everybody, and apologies for the late start. Welcome to the Cabinet meeting on Monday the 17th of February. Just before we start, item number six on the agenda is the scrutiny review of car parking services, and part of the subcommittee working on that review was Councillor Sonia Andjelkovic, who obviously very sadly passed away recently, so I would just like to take a moment for us to observe a minute's silence in honour of Sonia before we proceed. Thank you all very much. I will proceed with item number one, which is to receive apologies for absence. We have a partial apology for absence. Councillor Barker is currently in traffic and making valiant efforts to get here, but is not currently quite yet here. Item number two is declarations of interest. Do we have any declarations of interest? No? Okay, thank you. Item number three is to approve as a correct record the minutes of the meeting held on the 9th of December 2019. Those minutes have been circulated. Does anybody have any questions or comments on the minutes? Can I propose those as a correct record? Could I have a seconder? Councillor Allen. All in favour? Passed as all in favour. I will just sign those. Thank you. Right, item number five is the forward plan. So the forward plan for the 1st of February to the 31st of May 2020 has been circulated as part of the agenda. Does anybody have any questions or queries on the corporate plan? No? Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Item number six, the scrutiny review of car parking services, and report to be presented by Councillor Sylvester.
Scrutiny review of car parking services. The subcommittee met on three occasions between September and December 2019. The members were Sonia Andjelovic, which we've already spoken about, Mike Metcalf and myself. We considered three questions really in the scope.
Did I catch it again? Sorry, I thought I'd turned it on. The first question was, is free after three making an impact on the footfall in the borough towns? Evidence from the managers of Cooper Square and Burton Place, both in Burton, show an increase in footfall since the free after three scheme was introduced. There is no evidence from Uttoxeter. There is personal evidence from the three members who knew that a significant number of people use the free after three, and they use it themselves, both in Burton and Uttoxeter. A lot of parents go with their children after school's closed and park. So there's a fair amount of activity in the town, in the towns, because of that. The subcommittee recommends that it should commit, that it should continue. Second question is, are we charging the right amount, and do we charge at the correct times? The previous amounts were £1, £2 and £3, depending on the number of hours. In respect to the £1, this was the first increase for 6 years. Presumably we didn't alter the tariff because no one wanted to move from such a round sum. All the tariffs are round sums, and which gives a bit of a problem. Overall, there is an increase in tariffs above the RPI, particularly on the 1-2 hour rate. However, the subcommittee felt that the new tariffs were reasonable when compared to those in other towns and would increase income to SPC, to ESPC significantly, especially in the 1-2 hour rate, which is the most used. There was concern in the committee that the tariffs moving away from the round pounds and that parking machines did not give change. However, there are in the borough's 8 car parks, there are 16 new machines which take car payments, and 16 old cash machines. The new machines are all in the three main car parks, Cooper Square, Burton Place, both in Burton, and the Maltings in Uttoxeter. The introduction of the new smartphone parking app will help with moving to away from the round pounds, plus the being able to use the credit cards. We're moving towards a cashless society, and this is the way to go for parking. Lichfield District and Stafford Borough Councils already use a parking app, and the average is 45% of cashless transactions. We did consider briefly whether the borough should offer totally free car parking, as this would increase the footfall significantly. There was no information available to allow the subcommittee to properly consider this. And it is worth mentioning that there are considerable free parking spaces in Burton and Uttoxeter, yet the ESPC car parks are still heavily used. So we felt that we should not do this. The subcommittee also considered whether ESBC should increase parking tariffs each year instead of a large increase every 4 years. This would be a hassle, as we'd have to change parking signs and parking meter software, and the cost of that is approximately £4,500 per hour. However, if we did change it every year, then that would increase revenue by approximately £32,000 each year. Obviously increasing in between. We feel that this should be reviewed in the future after the new parking tariffs are in place and the parking app is working. After much discussion, it was felt that the parking time bans were reasonable and should not be changed. One area to note is the refund given to the leisure centre users on their car parks, which in turn is refunded by ESPC to everyone active. This is a continuation of the system in place when ESB run the leisure centres. The agreement between ESBC and everyone active is for 10 years, and perhaps in 9 years' time we ought to reconsider that. The third thing we looked at, are we using the correct payment technology or are there better alternatives available? The subcommittee felt it did not have the expertise or information to consider payment on exit systems. These are usually controlled by barriers or number plate recognition cameras. The problem with the SBC car parks is that there's multi-entrances to them, and some of them are shared with other providers. And any change in the system would be impractical and extremely expensive. The introduction of the car parking app helps alleviate some of the problems of this, in that people can extend their parking times by their app if they're running out of the time they're already booked it for. The cost of the full rollout of the app and the replacement of all cash machines will be evaluated after the trial period and presumably be subject to a further scrutiny review, which is what we recommend. That's all I've got to say on the matter.
Thank you, Councillor Sylvester, for that, and also for your hard work, and also thanks to Simon for the support that you've obviously had throughout the process.
Thank you.
Does anybody have any questions or would like to make any comments? Councillor Peters.
Why does it happen? I welcome the report as a portfolio holder. I found it to be comprehensive. And I totally support the recommendations to review it in a year's time. We did put it in inverted commas as a pilot, so the recommendations are welcome, and I totally accept them. And thank you for the good work that you've done.
Thank you. Does anybody else have any questions or comments to make? No, okie dokie. I think we obviously spent quite a lot of time in terms of looking at all of these issues as a cabinet prior to this scrutiny review as well. So it's obviously pleasing to have some external validations of some of the decisions we took. Pleasing that there was a cross-party acceptance of the increase in fees. Obviously, whilst they are increases in fees, they are as we looked at in detail at the time, some of the cheapest in the area, and still represent good value for money. And as you say, the car parks continue to be well used, but it is something that you keep under review going forward in terms of usage, and whether those increases have any effect on usage figures going forward. So that's just my comments, other than my thanks. So the recommendations of the report to consider the impact of charges in future and to consider the success of the new parking app, which I think we're all happy to take forward. I'm getting some nods, but I will just take a formal vote on that. I'll propose that. And could I have a seconder first? Councillor Faulkner, all in favour? Okay, unanimously carried. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Item number 7 is the medium-term financial strategy 2020-21 through to 24-25. In the absence of Sal Khan, who was due to present, I'm just going to ask Angela Wakefield, Councillor Solicitor, to make a short presentation.
Thank you, Leader.
No, I'm not. in the nick of time. Yeah, sure. Welcome, Councillor Barker. No.
Nope.
If you want to just read it through, Sal, that's fine. Yeah, that's fine.
So the purpose of the report is to consider the medium-term financial strategy for the period 2020-2021 to 2024-2025 and to highlight the financial challenges and risks for 2021 and beyond. By way of some background, it's worth noting that there's been a 78% or £6.4 million reduction in core central funding on a like-for-like basis between 2010 and 2019. And the base budget for 2020-21 required about £900,000 of savings to be identified. Looking forward, the draft budget is balanced using monies from the new homes bonus reserve on a temporary basis. It's also worth noting that financial reforms, various reviews, the business rates reset and the move to 75% business rates retention have all been deferred to 2021-2022. In terms of the settlement, core funding has increased by about £50,000. Negative RSG is to be funded again. New homes bonus has increased for 2020-2021, but there are no legacy payments for 2020-2021 onwards, which means that there's about a £2.6 million loss over 3 years. Council tax referendum limits were set at 2% or £5, whichever was the higher, and we had some homelessness funding allocation of about £214,000 for 2020-2021. In terms of the detail in the report, table 5 in section 8 of the report looks at the revenue budget over the 5-year plan period and identifies gaps of £742,000 in 2021-2022, £1.3 million 2022-23, £1.7 million 2023-24, and £1.5 million in 2024-25, which are temporarily plugged from new homes bonus. So the budget is balanced for the 5-year period. Savings achieved over the years have come from various activities, and they include office accommodation moves, cultural services review, various management restructures, and our approach to internal shared services. The future strategy for savings is outlined in paragraph 8.4, and in terms of changes to the budget, both in terms of savings and growth, these are shown in section 9 of the report. Our capital programme is outlined in section 13. There's existing commitments in there to the regeneration of station streets and to the repayment of historical debt. There are proposals for 2021 onwards, which include a provision allocation to the Washlands, the creation of a small business fund and some small capital bids from various service areas. There's also the ongoing DFGs, which are funded via the Better Care Fund. In the capital side as well, there's also the reference to the policy to set aside 20% of all future capital receipts to pay off debt. Section 11 of the report identifies the main risks, and they're colour-coded red, amber and green. Income generation has been identified as a key risk, and a sum of £150,000 is to be set aside to mitigate against the risk associated with a shortfall in income levels. The reserve section is covered in section 14 of the report, and we've carried out a review of reserves and concluded that our general reserve should remain at £1.3 million. This is about 3% of our gross spend, and whilst this may be considered quite low when compared to nearest neighbours, we do hold specific earmarked reserves that are established to mitigate against more significant risks facing the authority, such as business rates. Section 12 of the report identifies a number of conclusions. Section 19 of the report identifies a number of conclusions of the MTFS. And members are also asked to note the extent of the financial challenge and associated risks ahead, and that the budget is being temporarily balanced by utilising reserves from 2021-22 onwards. The recommendation is for Cabinet to reprove the council, is for Cabinet to recommend to Council that the MTFS for 2020-2021 to 2024-2025, which includes a revenue budget, the capital programme, the asset management and capital strategy to be approved and that the level and appropriateness of reserves is noted. So it's a whistle-stop tour through the report, Chair, and I'm happy to answer any detailed questions that may arise from it.
Thank you very much. Does anybody have any questions or comments they would like to make? No? Okay. Can I just take the opportunity to thank you, Sal and Lisa and the team, for all the hard work in putting this together. Obviously, this is a document as a cabinet that we are already familiar with in a significant amount of detail, having worked on it for quite some time up till now. It's obviously pleasing that we are proposing a balanced budget for the next financial year. But as you say, we do note the concerns going forward, principally around a significant amount of uncertainty around future government funding. So if nobody else has any other comments to make, I'm going to move the recommendation at item number 20, which is to recommend that Cabinet recommends to Council the approval of the medium-term financial strategy 2021 to 24-25, which includes the revenue budget, capital programme and the asset management and capital strategy, and that the level and appropriateness of reserves be noted. If I can have a seconder for that, Councillor Allen, all in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. At which point, I will draw the meeting to a close. Thank you all very much for attending.